Today's Shiz Masech Techul on Daf Chaf Hey. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Chaf Dalad Amid Beis, towards the bottom of the Amid. At the Mishnah, the Mishnah continues to contrast situations. A keli that comes, a vessel that comes in contact with Tumah becomes Tameh. So if we have a keli come in contact with a Sheretz or somebody who's Tameh Meis, that keli becomes a rishon l'tumah. If food or liquid fall into that keli, the food becomes a sheni l'tumah. However, as we're going to learn extensively in our shiur today, there's a difference in halacha between different type of kelim. We have kelim that are kli cheres, made out of earthenware, and we have a keli that's made out of earthenware. Even though when we think about tumah normally, when we think about transmission of tumah, we think of touching, when one thing comes in contact with another thing. However, when we speak about klei cheres are not mekabel tumah, only from the inner space, from anything, from being inside the klei cheres, from even being suspended in the kli cheres. That means, in order for kli cheres to become tameh, the sheretz that we spoke about a moment ago has to be in the interior of the kli cheres. But the halacha is that it doesn't have to touch the walls of the kli cheres. Even if it's just suspended in the kli cheres, that would be the halacha. And similarly, if something were to enter the airspace of a kli cheres, even though, which is tameh, even though that object that entered the airspace of the kli cheres was not touching the walls of the kli cheres, still the halacha will be that the kli cheres is that thing becomes tameh. That's the halacha kli cheres. What is a kli cheres? It's anything that's made out of earth that's formed and then put into a furnace to be formed into a keli, or clay, china. Similarly, if we put the keli on top of something, if we turned over the keli on top of something which is tameh, then again, the interior of the keli becomes tameh. Furthermore, once something was in the interior of a kli cheres that's tameh, so even though now it's out, it's not anymore in the interior of that kli cheres, the halacha doesn't change. The halacha actually is that object remains tameh. But that's not specifically so unique to kli cheres, because this halacha will also be anything that's tameh, anything that becomes tameh because it touched something that's tameh, remains tameh even after it's not touching the source of tumah. The other kelim, as we understand, are only mekabel tumah when they touch. Something is only mekabel tumah when they touch that keli. And that halacha that they become tumah when they touch that keli doesn't mean that they have to be touching the interior of the keli. Even if they're touching the exterior of, even if they're touching the exterior of the keli, the halacha will be that they will be tameh, says the Mishnah. So we now could understand that the Mishnah teaches us tabu kli cheres, something which will not be tameh by kli cheres. That means that the touch the outside of kli cheres that's tameh. For example, tameh b'kol kelim, by all other kelim will be tameh. And on the other hand, tar b'kol kelim, something which will be tar by all other kelim, if tumah was something was suspended in the ear of a kleili, not kli cheres, that's tameh, it won't become tameh. But by kli cheres, something which is suspended inside will become tameh. There's two more important halachas. One is, we're going to learn the Gemara, that something that has a tzumit pasul, if we know that the halacha is that if something is left in a house with its tumah, with its a mace, it becomes tumah with tumas oil. But by kli cheres, if the keli is sealed, then the halacha is that it doesn't become tamei. That's one halacha. And another halacha is that a kli cheres is metamei. Once it becomes tamei, there's no option of taking kli cheres to a mikveh and making it tahor by putting it into the mikveh. The only way to make a kli cheres tahor is shvirasan zu tarasan, by breaking them. That's the way that it could become tahor. On the Yom Narayim, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, we say in the Sana Taikif, we say in the Sana Taikif a very powerful moment in our tefillah, Moshul Kecheres HaNishbar. We have to look at ourselves like earthenware, and just like earthenware don't have any ability to become tamei, tahor, unless shvirasan, we break ourselves through doing tshuva. That's the only way it can become tahor. We're not like anything else that just jumping into the mikveh would be satisfactory. Begins the Gemara Tanur Rabbanan, Avi Kli Cheres, if something came into the airspace of a Kli Cheres, tamei, then the halacha is that it's tamei. On the other hand, the Gabay, if something touched the outer wall of a Kli Cheres, then the halacha is that it's tahor. Because as we learned, a Kli Cheres only gives off tumah from the outside. Now we have an interesting question. What will be the halacha if a Kli Cheres is already tameh? And as we've been learning, a Kli Cheres could only become tameh from its interior. But what's the halacha now once it became tameh? Once its interior became tamei, does its exterior have the ability to give off tumah? Some rishonim, some in fact suggest that that's the opinion of Rashi, that once it became tamei, indeed from the interior, the exterior now has the ability, is tamei, and the exterior has the ability to give off tumah. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that even if it became tamei from its interior, the outside doesn't ever give off tumma. In other words, Tosfos' opinion is that the Torah was mechadish, that a kli cheres is a different type of a keli, and a kli cheres is only going to have tumma from its interior, never from its exterior. There's a similar machlokes rishonim, what's going to be if something touches the handle of a kli cheres? Is that considered like the exterior, or that's going to be considered like the interior? Says the Gemara, Mina Hanimili, from where do we know this din? Says the Gemara, the Tanur Rabbanan, the Braisa teaches us. The Torah speaks about the various shrotzim and that their ability to give off tumah. The Torah says, so we learn from the word toicha that was stated at the beginning of the pasuk that apish leinaga, as long as something came into the interior of the keli becomes tamei. Ataima, says the Braisa, apish leinaga, is that halacha even if it came into the interior without touching? Ayena el imkein naga, or perhaps this halacha only applies if it actually touched the interior? Says the Gemara, says the Braisa, Rav Yosef ben Avtomas Omer, Nama Toich Latama. The Torah uses the word Toicha, that anything that comes into Toicha becomes Tamei. The Nam Toich Latama, that gives off Tamei. The Nama Toich Latoicha, Latame, that the Keli becomes Tamei. Ma Toicha Omer Latame, when it speaks about something giving off Tama, it speaks about giving off tumah to anything that came into it, even if it didn't actually touch the walls of the keli. The toicha that gives off, that the keli becomes tumah, the halacha is, it becomes tumah, even if it didn't come in a direct contact with the tumah. Ask the Gemara, how do we know that the keli becomes tumah with something coming into its airspace, even though it didn't touch the keli? Amar Rabbi Yonason, to which answers Rabbi Yonason, the Torah when it speaks about a klicheris and says that everything is the klicheris is tamei, speaks about even a case when it's molei chardo. And molei chardo means that it's made out of mustard seeds. Now, certainly, the mustard seeds, you don't touch that, you have a full keli of mustard seeds. The mustard seeds that are in the inside of that entire stack of mustard seeds don't touch the walls. And even though they don't touch the walls, they become tamei, obviously, because the halacha is that they become tamei even though they didn't touch the walls of the klicheris. Even though there's a big machloikus, rishonim, what is the shear of Kabbalah's tuma by Eichlin? And says Rashi, that's only when we speak about the ability of Eichel, of food, to transmit tuma. But for Eichel to be able to come in tamei, it doesn't make a difference whatever size. And even therefore, even though it's just a mustard seed, which is certainly not the size of a kebeya, because you have to have the size of a beya to be able to transmit to Ms. Eichlin, it's going to be makabel tuma. And as we're going to explain, that will be an explanation of this Gemara. The problem is, however, that this opinion of Rashi, that food is makabel tuma even when it's small, doesn't make the difference what size it is. It only has the inability of transmitting tuma until it's a beya. Tosfos, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, disagrees. And he says that not only can food not transmit tuma when it's less than a beya, it can't be mekabel tuma when it's less than a beya. So according to Tosfos, the only way we're going to be able to explain the Gemara is that even though the Gemara says molei chardo, it doesn't mean mustard seeds, because mustard seeds, according to Tosfos, are too small to mekabel tuma. It's talking about molei beyim. It's full of eggs, and therefore we have the proper shear of Kabbalah's tuma. But again, the example is the same, where it's full of eggs, and the interior eggs are not touching the walls. Actually, the Shita says that even Rashi, that Tosfos says that even Rashi ultimately agreed to the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. And if Rashi ultimately agreed to the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, so then we're going to have to explain the Gemara that it's with eggs, even according to Rashi. The question, of course, Rashi asks is, why is this a raya? Why is this a proof that it becomes tummy only from the interior? Maybe what happened here is you have the mustard seeds that are touching the walls, and those mustard seeds are touching the interior mustard seeds. And once those mustard seeds are touching the interior mustard seeds, that's how they become tummy. So certainly, according to the Girsa of Rashi, that we're talking about mustard seeds, so even though the mustard seeds that touch the walls of the keli will become tamei, they don't have the ability to transmit tuma. But even if we'll say that we're talking about eggs, the halacha is that Rashi says that ein oichel matama oichel. So even if the outside eggs are the size of an egg, and they're touching the interior eggs, the halacha is one egg, one food can't be matama, a second tuma. Moreover, if we have many layers of eggs, so then the eggs that are touching the wall become a rishon. The one that's touching the next egg will be a sheni. The next one will be a shlishi. And shlishi is the last type of tuma we have besides for kachim. But then, Tosfos asks a question. The Torah says, the Gemara, the Pasuk says in Parashas Nosai, Kaf Achas, Sarazov Malaik Tyrus, and the Gemara teaches us that Kamash Bakli, anything that's in one Keli is combined. The concept of Tzir of Keli. So therefore, here, when we have all of these mustard seeds or all of the eggs in one Keli, they should all be considered like they're all one category, says the Gemara. So Tosfos answers, the Pasuk says, Kol HaShebetoichai. Kol HaShebetoichai means that everything that's in the keli, even if it's not together with everything else in the keli, it's just suspended in the keli. So we see that it's not because of Tzir of Keli, because we would only be able to apply the concept of Tzir of Keli to what's all together. But here, it's not all together, and therefore we can't apply that concept. Says the Gemara, or ask the Gemara, Amalei Rav Ad Bar Hava L'Rava, after what we just learned, ask the Gemara, V'yehei Klicheres Metam Megaba, the halacha ought to be that a Klicheres is metam, should be tami from the exterior, because we should say the following, Kal V'chomer, Uma Kol HaKelim. If we speak about all other Kelim, that the halacha is, She'ei Metam Eviron, that there is no tama from what suspended in the airspace. Metama megabam, the tama from the outside, so klicheres, which is metama maviroi, which has this chumra, that even what's suspended in it is tamei. Certainly, the loch is anytime then she tama megaboy, it should give off tama from its exterior. So Taisus asks, the question of the Gemara is not really so clear, because a klicheres can never become an avatoma, whereas other kalim can become an avatoma. So therefore, how can we compare the two? Says the Gemara, says Taisus, what we're trying to understand is not to say that klicheres, that this keli should be treated like that keli. It's a fair argument to say that since the different kalim have different halachas, we can't just learn one from the other. What the Gemara means to ask, says Taisus, is that once we've learned that Avir is a legitimate way of transmitting Tumah, so we learned Gaboy, touching the outside is a legitimate way of Kabbalah's Tumah, why are we treating the different Kalim? Why are we treating different Kalim in different ways? Says the Gemara, Amakra, answers the Gemara, Amakra, the Pasuk says, as we mentioned earlier, the Pasuk says, V'kol kli p'suach ha-shein ain't summit pasuk alav, tamahu. The Pasuk is teaching us that anything that's found in an oil and mace, and it's not sealed, summit pasuk means that it's not sealed, the halach is, then it becomes tamei. The Pasuk says, the words kli p'suach, says the Gemara, from here we learn, eiza kli shetum masa kaidin l'petzchai, where is there a keli that the tumah comes because it's open, says the Gemara Havaim, is that klicheres? Because as we said before, anything that comes ashiyipo mehem, anything that comes into the airspace of the klicheres becomes tamei. V'chi ain't summit pasalov. And the Torah says that if there's no seal on it, that's when it's tamei. Hayesh summit pasalov. If there would be a seal, then it's going to be tamei. But let's think about it. If a klicheres becomes tamei from the exterior, so if this klicheres is in a place where there is tumah, that should make that it should be tamei because the tumah came in contact with the exterior. The tumah's oil came in contact with the exterior. So the fact that it doesn't happen that way, that the Torah says that as long as it's sealed, we have nothing to worry about tumah in here, is clearly an indication that the only thing that we have to consider is the interior of the klicheres. There's a question how to define these words. The Bar Tanura says that the word psil means the cover, and the tzomid is the seal. But Rashi and Chumash says the opposite. Rashi says that tzomid means the cover, and psil means the is the seal that seals the cover here. Says the Gemara, v'yu, but now ask the Gemara the other way around. V'yu, kol ha-kelim metam ma'avirim, the halacha is that all kelim, not just klicheres, should be able to mekabel tumah from their interior, because we should make the following kal v'chomer. Oma klicheres she'e metam ma'gaboy, if other kalim that have klicheres that can't get tumah from its exterior. The halacha is metame maviroi gets tumah from its interior. Kol kalim. So when we speak about all other kalim that are metame megabam, that are mekabel tumah when the tumah touches the outside, certainly ain't a din shemetame meiviron. They should become tumah from the interior. to answer the Gemara. Amakra, the pasuk says regarding the kli cheres. The Torah says the words are called kli cheres hashipa and mem al toichai, and we learn from him. We learn from it toichai shalzeh. Only by the interior of a kli cheres is there a din that that's how it becomes tamei. V'loy toichai shel acher, but nowhere else do we have the special din. Says the Gemara, v'hani toichai. But ask the Gemara, the pasuk. We've been learning all sorts of halachas from the Torah using the word toicha. But ask the Gemara, v'hani toicha ader shinu. We've already learned these words for other purposes. The one time we learned toicha, that the kli cheres is matame from its only from its interior, and one was to teach us that it becomes tame from its interior, even if the tumah did not touch the walls of the inside. So how can we be learning, asked the Gemara, so many halachas from this same words? Answers the Gemara, Arba Toichai Ksiv. The Torah says the word Toichai twice, and each time the Torah could have just used the word Toich, but the Torah actually used the word Toichai. So it's the equivalent of having this word four times. And we learn from here, Chad Legufei. One is to teach us the fundamental halacha that we're learning in today's shir, that a kli cheres becomes tamei from its interior. Chad, to teach us the gzer shava that we've been learning, that once it's in the interior, once the davar tumah is in the interior of the kli cheres, it makes the kli cheres tamei, even though it didn't touch the walls. V'chad, toichai, to teach us shazah, that only by kli cheres is there a din of toichai? V'loy toichai shalachar. There is no din of toichai by other kalim. V'chad toichai, to teach us the halacha of toichai. V'loy toich toichai. That only something that's inside the kli cheres becomes tamei, but something that's toich toichai of a kli cheres will not become tamei. What does that mean? It will have a kli cheres, and in the kli cheres there's tumah. And inside this kli cheres, there's another keli, which is higher than the outer, than the exterior kli cheres. The halacha is, and in that kli shetef, which we're going to see, means a keli which is not a kli cheres, this food. The halacha is that even though one can make the argument that it's in the interior of a kli cheres, because this kli shetef is inside the kli cheres, but it's not considered inside the kli cheres. It's only considered toich toichai, not really is inside the kli cheres. And therefore, the halacha is that the food in that keli will not be tamei. Actually, the Rishonim say that it also means something else. That let's say the case was the other way around. The kli cheres that's tamei is inside, and there's food outside in the kli shetef, and that food is in contact with the kli cheres, something that we spoke about earlier, won't be able to become tamei. As we said a moment ago, any keli which is not a kli cheres is called a kli shetef. Shetef, the word shetef, means something that could be washed. And as we said in our introduction to the shir, that the difference between a kli cheres and all other kalim is that all other kalim could become tar by putting them in the mikveh, but a kli cheres cannot. And that's why the word kli shetef is used for all other kalim. Says the Gemara, filu kli shetef matzah. Not only if the inside keli is cheres, then the halacha is that it's not tamei, because the kli cheres won't become tamei from its outside, and it will be kefor if you have the outside keli as a kli shetef, and there's food or whatever and the inside that keli touching the exterior of the kli cheres, that certainly that kli cheres cannot become tamei. For as we've been learning throughout our shir, a kli cheres cannot become tamei from its exterior, but moreover, even if the inside keli, as we were saying, is a kli shetef, that does become tamei from its exterior, it prevents anything that's inside from becoming tamei, because it doesn't become tamei from the exterior, it doesn't become tamei from the exterior kli from the exterior kli cheres. Because why? Because the exterior kli cheres is a rishon tuma, because it came in contact with a sheretz, and something a keli that comes in contact with a kli cheres is becomes a rishon tuma, and now the next keli that we want to become tamei from it is not able to become tamei from a kli rishon, because a keli can only mekabel tuma from an av atuma. The fact that it's inside a kli cheres, but we know the so a keli that's in the exterior, in the interior of a kli cheres is not mekabel tuma. Only oichlim and mashkin that are in the interior of a kli cheres will become tamei, but not a keli that's inside a kli cheres. Says the Gemara. Ask the Gemara. V'lo yikol hakel matama megabam el metoychan umenagia. So now the Gemara is suggesting that the way all kelim should become tamei should only be when you have should only be when you have the following conditions: when the keli, when the tuma touches the keli, and in the interior of the keli. Because we should make, ask the Gemara, the following kal v'chomer: Oma kli cheres matama me'aviro. If kli cheres that becomes tamei from its interior. But as we've been learning throughout our shir, if the tumah comes in touch with the outside, it doesn't become tamei. So certainly, kol kelim she'ein matamim avirim. Well, other kelim that we've been learning don't become tamei from the interior. The halacha should be ein adin she'ein matamim begabam, that they shouldn't become tamei from the outside. And that's for that, the Gemara is suggesting that the only way something can become tamei is if it's in the interior. And the only difference that we will have between a kli cheres and a kli shatef is that by kli cheres, it just has to be suspended in the interior for it to be tamei. And by kli shatef, not, it has to be in the interior. And not only must it be in the interior, it must be touching the interior to give off tuma. Answers the Gemara. Amakra, the pasuk that we spoke about earlier, when the pasuk says v'kol kli psuach hashen tzomer pasuv v'lov tamehu, that we learned that if the keli is sealed, even though it's in the oil hamais, it won't become tamei. That pasuk we said is speaking about a kli cheres. Says the Gemara, from that pasuk we learn hai hu deche ain tzomer alav pasul tamei. There we learned there's a difference if it's sealed or not sealed. Ha tzomer pasuv v'lov, if it's sealed, even though it finds itself in the oil hames, it's tar. But what do we see from here? Kala kalim, all other type of kalim, ben sheyesh tzomet pasaleim, whether they're sealed, ben sheein tzomet pasaleim, betamba, the mekabel tuma, because the tuma comes in contact with the exterior of the keli. So from here we learn that by all other kalim, even contact from the exterior will make the keli tuma. Continues the Mishnah. Tor b'kli'etz, what a kli'etz, when it won't be makabel tuma, is tuma b'kli matris. And as we'll see in a minute, that means pshuti kli'etz. If we have something made out of kli'etz, out of wood, only if it has a receptacle, as we're going to learn, because it's compared to a sack, something that has a receptacle, kli'etz that have a receptacle are makabel tuma, whereas b'kli matris, they even if they don't have receptacle, tamei b'kli matris. On the other hand, tor b'kli matris, which means golmei kli matris, that wasn't formed into a keli yet, won't be tamei by kli matris, but they will be tamei b'kli eitz. Says the Gemara Tanur Rabbanan, golmei kli eitz, a kli eitz that is usable, tameim. They are considered a keli and the makabel tuma. Pshuteim, but if you have a kli'etz that's flat, that's the simple definition, something that doesn't have a receptacle, the halacha is tahirim, that not mekabel tuma. As we said, Rashi says, because the pasuk says, mikol kli'etz oy begadai or a sack, so we compare kli'etz to sack. And just like a sack is something that's movable and it's something that has a receptacle, so too kli'etz are only mekabel tuma, only if they can be moved when they're full or empty, and if they have a receptacle. And therefore, pshute kli'etz and not mekabel tuma. Moreover, the other Rishonim learned this halacha from the word that the Torah speaks about a kliyetz being mekabel tuma. The Torah says mikol kliyetz. So we learn mikol, some kliyetz are mekabel tuma, and some kliyetz are not mekabel tuma. The ones that have a receptacle are mekabel tuma. Otherwise, they're not mekabel tuma. There is a big machlokes Rishonim. We're learning in the Gemara that certainly mederaisa pshuti kliyetz that don't have receptacle are not mekabel tuma. Will mederaisa? What will be the halacha mederabbanan? So the Rashbam says that pshuti kliyetz that are royal medrash, if it doesn't have receptacle but it could be stepped on, sat on, a mekabel tuma, like a shoe. But if it's not something that one could put weight on, it's not even mekabel tuma mederabbanan. The Ramban's opinion is that pshuti kliyetz that are used for, that we have use from, for example, a table. A table is pshuti kliyetz. It's a flat table. It doesn't have a receptacle, but it serves us. It's mekabel tuma. Pshuti kliyetz, and he suggests that it will even be mekabel tuma midaraisa. Pshuti kliyetz that don't serve as people are tuma midrabbanan. Tosus's opinion is that pshuti kliyetz, no matter what type of pshuti kliyetz, are never mekabel tuma midaraisa, but they're always mekabel tuma midrabbanan. Gomei kli matches, if we have kli matches that haven't been finished to be processed, tahirim, they are tahirim, even because they're not considered a keli until they're completely finished being produced. Pshuteim, but we have kli matches that are flat, that don't have receptacle, they're still tameim, they're still mekabel tuma. Nimtza, so summarizes the braisa, what's tar b'kliyetz, pshuti kliyetz, is tameh b'kli matches, and what's tar b'kli matches is tameh b'kliyetz. It's interesting, the Achrayim point out, then all the various cases that we've been learning, the Mishnayis and the Halachas that we've been learning till now, that we Gemara always starts with a Kal V'Chomer, that the Halacha should be here like there. The Gemara here doesn't ask that question. So I saw that the Sefer Birkas Moshe answers that because in all those cases, we're talking about Tuma, the previous Gemara, and way Tuma is transmitted. And the Gemara asked if it's a legitimate way to transmit Tuma Maviron, it should always be legitimate. Or if it's a legitimate way to transfer Tuma Megabam, it should always be a legitimate way. Here, the Gemara is focusing on what is what. This is a kliyetz, and this is a not a kliyetz. The Gemara's focus is that the kalim are different type of kalim, and therefore the Gemara never assumed that we could learn one from the other. Says Mavela Kliyom Kliyetz. We just learned that Gomri Kliyetz a Makabel Tuma. What does that mean? Kol She'osu Loshev. If we're going to ultimately polish it, L'shavitz, we're going to put into it nails to fancy ornamentation, legarer to use a plane to smooth it out, lekarkev to engrave it, latir betunis. They used to have a fish that was called a tunini, which is a type of fish that they used to polish things. Mechusa kan, if it's missing a base, mechusa eugen, it's missing a lip around the rim, eisen, it's missing a handle. It doesn't make a difference. In all these cases, if it's a kliyetz, it's mekabel tuma. However, if it's mechusa chatita, if it's missing being formed into a keli, so there halacha will be that it's still there, even by kliyetz, it won't be mekabel tuma. Ask the Gemara, mechusa chatita, if we have a piece of wood that we have to engrave the receptacle, and we didn't do so, we didn't cut out the receptacle, pshita, it's not a keli. It's not the keli. Answers the Gemara, L'tzrich the Tana speaking about a case, the chok chakpiza bekava, that he did make a receptacle, but he intended to make a bigger receptacle. So the question is, one can make an argument, you made a receptacle already. Since you made a receptacle, that she be makabel tuma, kamashma, that's not that way. Says the Gemara, ve'elen kome kli matchas. Says the Bryson, now what about kli matchas? Kol sha'osad loshuf, anything that's ultimately going to be polished, the shabbats that we're going to put in these pin, these pegs or notation, legarer, to smooth it out, lecharker, to engrave it, lehakish bekunas, if sometimes it needs to be banged with some type of a hammer to, if there are any creases in it, mechusa kan, if it's missing a base, mechusa oigen, if it's missing a lip, mechusa oizen, it's missing oizen, it's missing a handle, and all these cases, it's tar. Mechusa kisui, but let's say it's not, let's say we have the keli, but it's missing its cover, then the halacha is that it is mekabel tuma. So I saw that the Chashukei Chemed says that sometimes the Gemara's, the focus of the Gemara here is that since it's mechusar a cover, so then it's not considered a, it's considered a keli. The fact that it doesn't have the keli, the cover doesn't make a difference. But he says we can't make that a hard and fast rule in all situations. For he explains, for example, that we had food in a can. We have food in a metal can. So food in a metal can, the metal can without a cover is useless. So there, the kisui is not just a kisui. The kisui is what makes the keli into the keli. And therefore, if you don't have a cover, it's not considered a keli. Which leads to a very interesting question. The Gemara here we just learned speaks about the keli, and we speak about the cover of the keli. We know the halacha is that a keli, many keli suda, have to be taken to the mikveh. The question is, the halacha here is that when we have a cover of keli, and the keli, the bracha that we make on the tefillas keli, is a tefillas kelim or is a tefillas keli? Now, it really is very much connected to what we just discussed. Because if it's a keli, example that a lot of pies can give, is a pressure cooker. So when we talk about a pressure cooker, the cover of the pressure cooker, the halach is that it's critical to the keli. And Rav Shlomo Zalman, in the Shalos HaTshuvos Micha Shloima, Chelek Beis Simen Samach Vav, says that the cover of a keli and the keli is considered one. He says, even though, and this happens, somebody has a keli, and he has a cover to the keli, but he has other covers in his, he has other kelim. Since he has other kelim in his, cabinet, he doesn't necessarily use this specific cover for the keli. He says, doesn't make a difference. He says, it's connected to the keli, and bracha of tefillas keli is made. The Pri Chadosh says more so because the halacha is that the Pri Chadosh says that even if you're taking many kelim to the mikvah, where we just said you should say tefillas kelim, and instead of saying tefillas kelim, you said tefillas keli, it would be yoytz, it's satisfactory. Now the question is that what will be the halacha if somebody has a becher, a kiddush cup, and many kiddush cup come with a plate under it. So what's the halacha? And this, he says, the Chashukei Chemed says, it's appropriate to have a plate under the becher. He compares it, interestingly enough, to the mizbeach, where we spoke many times when we spoke about the mizbeach, having your side, a base, with things fell into the base. So now the question will be, what will be the halacha by the becher and the base? Is that considered one or two? And he says, does it even need tefillah? Because nobody really uses the base for food. So he says that if somebody uses the base, for example, to eat on, then the halacha would be that you should have to take it to the mikvah. And again, it would be the same question that maybe you should make a tefillas keli or tefillas kelim, or you can make a tefillas keli. However, he says, he quotes Rav Chaim Kanievsky. He says Rav Chaim Kanievsky held that even if it'll come out that for whatever reason somebody put food on that plate that he has under the kiddush cup, that's not what that plate, so to speak, was meant to be used for. That plate is meant to be there to catch the wine. Nobody is on a regular basis using that for eating on as a plate. And therefore, even if there is a circumstance, he suggests that it was used under that it was used that way, it will not have a chiyuv of tefillas kelim. Says the Gemara, Maishna hani or Maishna hani. So ask the Gemara, why a gomei kli eitz different treated differently than gomei kli matches? That we're learning that gomei kli eitz are mekabel tumah and gomei kli matches are not mekabel tumah. Says the Gemara, Rav Yochanan Amar, the gomei kli matches hoyle kavod asuyin. They're used only for important purposes, and therefore, since they're only used for important purposes, nobody is going to use it until they're completely finished. Rav Nachman Amar, the reason that gomei kli matches are tar, hoyle v'demeim yikarim, since they're expensive. So nobody's going to buy an expensive keli unless it's finished. Ask the Ramai Benayu. So he gave two different explanations. The Gemara offered two different explanations why gomei kli matches are not mekabel tumah. Ask the Gemara Ikka Benayu. The nafkamina will be by kli etzem, something that's made out of bone, which is expensive, but they're not used in a kavadiga fashion. According to Rabbi Yochanan, they're going to be treated like kli etz, and the golem will be mekabel tumah. According to Rabbi Yochanan, since they're expensive, so they're treated like kli matches. And says the Gemara of Azar, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Nachman Tamei, Rabbi Nachman is following his opinion. Damar Rabbi Nachman kli etzem, when we speak about kli etzem, kli matches tamu, the halacha treats them like kli matches, and they're not mekabel tumah unless they're completely finished. Mechlal, says the Gemara, for here we're learning that we're only discussing at what point that a mekabel tumah. But says the Gemara, clearly from here we see the kli etzem, kelim that are made out of bone, a mekabel tumah. And answers the Gemara, in absolutely, they are mekabel tumah. The Chazanish makes a point that throughout our Gemara we've been focused on kli. On gomei kli, if something is not finished, so the halacha is by kli matches, it's not mekabel tumah. Says the Chazon Ish, it really, this halacha is most dependent on a person's intention. If you have something that isn't completed, but as far as you're concerned, it's usable, then the halacha will be that it's not a gomei kli matches. And for the next person, who for him, it is already completed, it will be considered. It is not completed for him, it will be gomei. The Torah tells us that after the Melchemes Midyan, Moshe Rabbeinu told the Sari Alof and Sari Mayas to be matan himself from Tumas Meis because they came in contact with the Midyanim who they had killed, and all the Kalim became Tamei. And the Pasuk says, V'chobegev kol kliyor v'komas izim v'kol kliyes tischat tohu. Says the Gemara, the Tanya, and the Gemara says, the Braisa teaches us, Rabbi Shmuel ben Yochanan ben Yochanan Breika, man tam loimer, what does the Torah mean to say, v'kol ma'ase izim tischatu? Says the Gemara, lahavi dova abom in izim. But speaking about kelim that come from goat, what does that mean? Min karnayim, from their horns, min atlofayim, from their hooves, that those type of kelim are mekabel tumah. Shar b'hayim v'chayim minayin. So continues the Gemara, how do we know that this is not a halacha that's only said by izim, by goat, that this halacha applies to all types of kelim? Tam loim v'chol mas izim. Everything is any type of keli made from the bone of an animal is mekabel tumah. Ask the Gemara, im kain, if that is indeed the halacha, ma tam loim izim. So ask the Gemara, why did the Torah speak? Focus? Ask the Gemara on the kli on izim. Prat-Lifus, to teach us that only something that's made out of the bones of an animal is Makabel Tumah, not something that's made out of the bones of a bird. The Mishnah teaches us in Masechet Maaseros that there's no obligation to take off Maaser from a fruit until it's finished growing, until it's completely ripe, which the Mishnah calls Oinas HaMaaseros. The Mishnah, the Mishnayis in Masechet Maaseros, identify by different fruits when is the Oinas HaMaaseros. So the Mishnah says that when we speak about Shkedim, we speak about almonds, that's when we're ready to make a stack or put them into the warehouse. And that's when it's Chayiv and Maaser. However, our Mishnah is going to distinguish between Shkedim Amorim and Shkedim Amasurukim. Shkedim Amorim are almonds, this way Rashi learns, that as they grow, they become bitter. And the halacha is they're not edible. So the chiv meiser on them is only when they're small and they're not that bitter, and therefore the halacha is they're edible. So says the Mishnah, given this difference between the shkedim hamorim and the shkedim hamasukim, says the Mishnah, chayv shkedim hamorim. The shkedim hamorim are only a chayv in meiser, as we just said, only when they're small, because they're not yet bitter, and since they're not yet bitter, they are edible. But potter b'masukim, but the almonds that are not bitter, since they're not bitter, we wait to eat them until they become completely grown to the full size, and therefore, when they're small, they're not chayv maisa. Chayv b'masukim, but in masukim, you chayv maisa when they're big, and potter b'morim, you're going to be potter when they're bitter, because at that point, when they're so bitter, they're not really edible, there's no chiv. Tana Bonin says, no, the Brice teaches us, shkedim amorim, when we speak about the shkedim amorim, when they're ktanim, when they're small, the chayiv, the meiser, because they're edible. When they're gedolim, when they're big, they're potter for meiser, because they are non-edible. Mesukim, the sweet ones, gedolim, when they're already completely ripe, and that's when they're eaten, that's when they're chayiv. When they're ktanim, when they're small, that's when the halacha is that they're going to be potter. Rishmal, that's the Tanakama, says the Gemara. Rishmal, Rab Yossi, I'm Mishum Aviv, that as long as they're small, there's no difference between the morim and the mesukim. Zevzel liftar, they're not going to be chayiv and meiser, because they're not ripe. And if they're not ripe, even though it's shkedim hamorim, and as we're learning in our shir, once they're going to become completely ripe, they're not going to be edible. So the halacha, really what Rav Shmuel says, according to this version, is shkedim hamorim will never have a chiyuv maaser, because when they're small, they're not ripe, and when they're big, they're not edible. V'amalei, and some say, says the Gemara, zevzel chiyuv. The Rav Shmuel Rav Yossi is saying is that when they're big, there's no difference between the Shkedim Amorim, the Shkedim Masukim, the Chayiv and Maaser. Even though the Morim, the halacha is they can be eaten through cooking, and since they can be eaten through cooking, they're considered edible and the Chayiv and Maaser. Amar B'loi, Hori Rav Chanina B'tzipari, Kedivrei Omer, Zevzel Lifter. That the version that we just learned, that Shkedim Ktanim, when they're small, whether they're morim or whether they're masukim, are always potter, like the first version. Uleman da'omer, according to the man da'omer that says, zevzel chiyuv, ask the Gemara, as we said a moment ago, when they're big, even the shkedim amorim, achayiv, and meiser, ask the Gemara, my chazor, what can you do with them? Answers the Gemara, amar Rabbi Yochanan, hoyo v'yochel maskalei they are. Since they can be made into, they can be made edible, since the halacha is that they can be made edible, so that's why they're going to be chayiv and meiser, even though naturally, if they're not put on the fire, they would not be able to be used as they cannot be used. So the question, of course, that needs to be discussed is what is the bracha? So the halacha is that if we have almonds, that's the case we're speaking about, if we have almonds that are not eaten in the way that they're normally eaten, we will only make a shahakal. We only make the bayir pri eitz if they're really completely edible and they're eaten in the way that they were meant to be eaten. The question, therefore, will be when you'll have the shkedim hamorim that are still small, that we're learning in our shir, that at that point they're edible. Actually, we're not only learning that at that point they're edible, that's when they're most edible, but they haven't been able to be, but they haven't completely matured. According to the Shulchan Aruch Rav, it seems that his opinion is since they're eaten that way, that you should make a bar priyates, even though they're not completely ripened.